Walk gently. Walk gently. Into the wide open spaces as far as you can see. She said, go to the places that you can breathe. And I stood with the old ones who dreamed this life in me. And listened for her voice in the stillness of the trees. Saying, walk gently. And we fight and resist for the simple right to be. To stand with the land and dance in ceremony. And this is what freedom means to me. This is what freedom means to me. And how can you be free if I am not free? How can you be free if I am not free? How can you be free? I don't want to go back to the city.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Board of Directors meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with luminaries in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Everyone values honest communication, but few people actually possess the requisite skills. Pertinent questions include, how can we let go of the need to be right all the time? Why do we sugarcoat or pretend instead of facing reality? Today, we're talking with an author whose life's work has been helping guide people towards self-realization. Our guest is psychologist Susan Campbell, author of the book, Getting Real, 10 Truth Skills You Need to Live an Authentic Life. Susan has worked as a corporate trainer and relationship coach for over 50 years. A former professor at the University of Massachusetts, she is author of 12 books on the topic of relationships and human communication. Her most recent work centers on how to use honest, present-centered communication as a vehicle for personal healing and expanded self-awareness. And this body of work has put her at the forefront of the honesty movement in psychology and is detailed in her best-selling Getting Real and her more recent books, Truth in Dating, Saying What's Real, and 5-Minute Relationship Repair. Wow. Hello, Susan, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for inviting me.
So let's start by asking, what inspired you to write this book 25 years ago, and how has it evolved since then?
Good. Well, ever since I was a kid, I was noticing how the adults would not say what they really meant a lot of the time. I could tell the difference. I was kind of a critical little observer of human interactions. And so ever since I've been a professional psychologist, I've always been working to help people feel more inwardly safe to tell each other what we really feel, what we really need.
You know, let's define getting real. That's the title of your book. How would you define it?
Well, getting real is actually a body of practices that help people both with their communication with each other, but it's also an awareness practice where you look at when you're being honest or when you kind of know you're not feeling like you could be honest, you're not feeling safe, and noticing the patterns and the thoughts that keep you from being honest so that you become more self-aware. So it's really, I call it honest communication as an awareness practice. When you can be honest, you know, and use the truth skills, great. But when you can't, when you're too fearful, that leads you to a deeper self-awareness of what some of the automatic beliefs you have, like it's not safe to talk to certain types of people, you know, people who are in authority, for example. So we make up all these fear stories and we bring them into our adult communication. Usually the fear stories come from something that happened in your childhood that was painful.
And how did you personally learn that it wasn't safe to feel and express your true feelings?
Well, before I wrote the book, Getting Real, I was in a marriage where I was afraid of my husband's anger. And I would hold back saying what I really felt. And then we got a divorce after a while. We'd been together a long time, tried to make it work. But when we got a divorce, I began to really realize how dishonest I'd been for those 10 years while I was with him. And that inspired me to tell my story and tell other people how you might think you're being kind of honest, but here's what it costs you, because it really costs a lot in terms of my ability to feel whole and complete and self-respecting.
Would you call your approach radical honesty?
Well, radical honesty is a term that was originated by Brad Blanton, and it's a whole movement, and I have been part of that movement. But even the work of radical honesty is changed over the years. So that term, I do not use that term for Getting Real. Getting Real is partly an inner awareness practice that looks at why aren't I more honest, and let me be honest with myself about that and heal that, and then I can be honest. Radical honesty, typically, you know, if you just look at Brad Blanton's books, it's more like get out there and be honest. And you know, Susan Campbell comes along. I studied with Brad, but then, you know, I disagreed with him in a number of ways. And my message is, you know, it's not that easy, Brad. People have all these patterns and conditioned fears that we have to deal with if we're trying to be honest.
You know, you stated that change and conflict are two of the biggest challenges of our time. And it occurs to me that because of change, radical, unending change, the whole concept of what is real has to be adaptive. In other words, my concept of myself changes in response to a changing reality. Is that fair, do you think?
It's fair in the sense that if you keep up with the changes, like, okay, so AI is affecting everybody. Not so much yet, but it will. And so I may have beliefs against AI for various reasons, or I may just get on board and adopt. But both of those reactions to a trend, an emerging change in society, that will affect how we view ourselves.
Right.
Everything, how we respond to anything affects how we view ourselves. And that needs to change. We need to be open to change and not get fixed in one identity.
Are you saying that people should be totally honest all of the time?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, that's not possible, and it isn't even practical. But what I would say for sure is reflect. If you notice that you aren't able to be honest, and of course, that requires a certain amount of self-awareness just to do that. But if you notice that you're not able to be honest, question that, because your awareness of why you're not being honest. What am I avoiding? I'm avoiding asking for what I want because I might hear a no, and that'll feel like rejection, and that'll hurt. So like I was saying earlier, to me, the most important thing about honesty or lack of honesty is what you can learn about yourself when you either are or aren't.
What are the most honest,
by your own definition?
What are the most common reasons that so many people lie or sugarcoat things?
They're afraid of an outcome that they don't think they can handle. Like I mentioned, you know, rejection, hearing no.
Right.
So, you know, we withhold there. or disagreeing with somebody. Well, I don't want to disagree with my boss because I might get docked in some way.
Right.
So to avoid an unpleasant outcome is the main reason. And it boils down to fear of emotional pain. Something that, you know, like rejection. If I was rejected a lot or criticized a lot as a child, then I'm going to protect myself in my current relationships from having that happen again because it's just too painful. Now, if we do practice these true skills that I teach, you get more able to handle emotional pain. That's actually the big idea behind all of this, is if you want to be honest, you've got to be willing to hear unpleasant things.
You know, I remember a Buddhist parable about that sort of illustrates that sometimes it's a good idea to lie. Okay, so there's this monk at the fork in the path in the jungle, right? And this young girl comes running by and her sari is torn and she's like afraid for her life and she goes down the right path. And then a minute later, this drunken samurai comes by and he goes, which way did she go? And so this is a monk who took a vow of honesty, right? And so he tells the truth. Well, the girl's probably going to die. If he doesn't do anything, there's a 50% chance she's going to die and he's probably going to die. But if he lies, nobody's going to die. So that's like the right thing for him to do.
Yeah, I have a little rule of thumb around that. It's like when you're dealing with irrational authority or an irrational system or an irrational person or an evil person, you know, all of that I consider irrational. Don't play the game with that kind of a person. You just have to decide what's the best outcome that you want. You have to be attached to the outcome. You know, a lot of Buddhist principles and getting real principles kind of say, don't be too attached to the outcome. But
right.
When you're dealing with an irrational force, you got to be strategic.
Right. Now let's talk about the 10 truth skills. And the first one is letting yourself be seen. And part of that is taking back projections or reclaiming buried part of yourself. It seems to me that this might be aided and abetted by therapy or personal growth efforts. Yeah. Okay. So letting yourself be seen. Speak to that.
Speak to that. The first truth skill is experiencing yourself, being able to experience exactly what's going on in the moment, like what do I feel, what am I thinking, and then based on accurate perceiving of self and environment, you know, tuning in, being able to be present to the inner and outer reality. Okay, so if you've got that one, then being transparent or letting yourself be seen is the next truth skill that kind of builds on that. And what that means is being willing to be known, being willing to be interested in the other too. It's kind of like knowing and being known are very present-centered, very important skills and values in order to have any kind of intimacy, any kind of trust relationship, even a business relationship. So having a congruence between what's going on inside and what you reveal to others is what I mean by being transparent or letting yourself be seen. There might be some instances where that wouldn't be advisable.
Right. I really like the way that you make a connection between between the desire to be in control and to use communication in order to control people or outcomes and how that interferes with being transparent. And so you make a distinction between communicating with the intent to relate or the intent to control. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So relating is kind of what I was just saying about revealing yourself, being curious about the other person, and being in the present moment as best we can. Like as you say that, what's coming up for me is this. You know, having those kinds of skills. So I, you know, list a bunch of those kinds of phrases that bring you into the present moment. But you know, as I heard that, my self-talk is. So that's another way to relate, is reveal the thoughts. But more as not, I think that you're honest, but more my self-talk is, wow, that was pretty honest what he just said. So we're more, it's a little, I give little phrases that reveal a little more. So relating is revealing and being curious, two-way communication.
Right. And and when you have an intent to relate, as you write, you will naturally mm-hmm. become more transparent, which makes you easier to know.
And usually to love.
I know. You say you are most lovable when you are most transparent.
Yeah, that's what I have found. If transparency is based on self-awareness.
Right.
See, now, okay, so let's go to the intent to control. So many of us have so many habits just built into our personality, like sugarcoating, going along to get along, or even doubting and disagreeing kind of compulsively. We have all these kind of automatic personality habits. Those are all designed unconsciously to protect from some outcome, like I was saying before, that we would rather not handle or we don't think we can handle. So controlling is behavior patterns and thinking patterns that keep you what you think are safe, like stay within your comfort zone. And so it's basically trying to manage reality when really that's not usually in your best interest. Because if you spend your whole time trying to manage and control reality, you don't learn how to deal with just real things as they come to you, because you're so attached to, well, it was supposed to go this way, and that's the only reality I have room for.
Yeah.
And like we were saying earlier, you know, change is happening faster and faster, and you need to be able to kind of keep up to new interpersonal realities as well as world's social changes.
Yeah, I think the change is accelerating so rapidly, and God knows how much of a difference AI is going to make. It's going to be huge. It's like, mm-hmm. how the heck can we ever keep up? You know, it's mm-hmm. almost overwhelming. Okay, so let's talk about some of these other truth skills. Why don't you bring, there's 10 of them. We can't cover them all in depth, so why don't you speak to any one of them that pops
up? Okay. Well, a lot of people are afraid to be honest because, I mean, there's something I need to say to you. You know, you've been late for our lunch dates the last three times and it's bothering me, you know, something like that. I need to clear the air. But we're afraid of damaging the relationship. There's a lot of things we know we need to say just so we don't harbor it in the back of our mind like a grudge. But we're afraid. So there's a truth skill that I call sharing mixed emotions. So you would kind of make a date with this person or just say, hey, I've got something I want to bring up. Are you available? You know, just so you got somebody's attention. And then you say, you know, I want to tell you something that happened a couple of times in the last week or two that kind of bothered me about you and me. And at the same time, I want to be able to deliver it in a way that doesn't hurt our relationship, because I'm bringing this up so that we can feel closer. I think if I could just get this off my chest, we'd feel closer. So it's like, I want to bring it up, but I'm concerned about how it'll land. And that sort of dual message is a nice device sometimes to soften the blow and to make it easier for yourself.
Right. Now, if you think someone is not being honest with you, how can you get them to be more honest?
Well, I would say ask yourself, if you really kind of think this person's holding back, ask yourself, what have you done in this relationship that might have this other person not feeling safe with you? I mean, do they, you know, you say, I want you to tell me all your needs, and then somebody tells you their needs and you go, man, are you needy? I mean, like, that is not going to make I mean, that's a silly example, but that's not going to make people feel safe with you. So, like, really examine yourself and try to be a safe presence and a safe space for people to speak into. But if you have questions about a particular person, you might just ask them sincerely, is there anything that I've done that's made it hard for you to tell me your thoughts, feelings, needs, any of that?
You know, I'm I'm an interviewer by trade. I've been doing this show for 40 years, and I tend to interview people when I get together with them, you know, because I'm just very curious. I'm very curious about people's psyche and what's going on for them. And sometimes I ask probably inappropriately personal questions, but I get away with it and I learn a lot. I don't, you know, I'll back off really quick, but do you recommend that? I mean, do you think it's okay to ask people personal questions?
I think you can get away with it with most people as you come across as a safe person.
Uh-huh.
I think that makes a big difference. Is like you kind of have to ask yourself, okay, am I harboring a lot of judgmental and critical thoughts about people so that when I ask a question, there's that critical edge or that, you know, you shouldn't be doing that edge. I would say depends on who you are. I'm like you. Mm-hmm. I believe I have love in my heart.
Right.
You know, we have love in our hearts. And I mean nothing but good for the other person. I'm trying to get closer to them and connect and so forth. And I'm also mindful, though, that not everybody is like me or you. I mean, I could ask you anything probably and vice versa.
Right.
Not everyone is like us. So we do have to like watch for any nonverbal resistances when we're the curious type like we are.
Well, I think it helps if you're also open. If you're super open and transparent, like I think I am, and I think you are too, then people do feel safer in confiding stuff with you. And for me, I just want to understand them better, and I want to accept them just the way they are. And I know they're different than me. So that just adds to my curiosity.
Yeah, but just don't count on them understanding that motive if they tend to be a little bit fearful and shy. Oh,
for sure.
I've had to learn that, you know, through experience, you know, but not everybody gets where I'm coming from.
There's one of the 10 truth skills that I found particularly curious about, and that's embracing the silence of not knowing.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Right. So let's say you're in a conversation with somebody and you say something kind of risky. I'm thinking I want to see you again. This is our first date, but I want to see you again. Okay.
That's
a moment that some of us have experienced. There's going to need to be some silence before the other person responds.
Right.
And being willing to allow silence to give the other person a chance to do whatever they do with your message, you know, especially if you're kind of anxious about it and you want to get an answer really quick.
Right.
Embrace that silence, because if you don't, you go, oh, but it's okay if you don't feel this. You know, you do disclaimers right after you ask the question. First of all, you've ruined your moment. You know, you had a moment there of real possible connection, even if the other person says, you know, I don't think so, or, you know, hopefully, you know, it's not too blunt. But you've got a moment of realness that's possible there. And when you fill in the silence, you give the message, I'm not really ready to hear all of what you might want to be saying.
You know, okay, that's beautiful. And chapter one is titled, How to Stop Being Right and Start Being Real. So let's talk about righteousness and the addiction to being right and how it gets in the way of being real.
Oh, man. The need to be right is, like, that didn't make it to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but I think it should be on there, okay? It seems almost universal. Even people who have studied spiritual practices and all this, I do couples counseling. It's so in inbred into us because we have this mind, you know, and you can't live without a mind, but the mind is always trying to be either right or safe from any kind of uncomfortableness or certain, you know, I know what you feel or I know what you're going to say. That's the nature of the ego mind, is, oh, I like to call it, just because right. there are types of mind. And so you almost can't extricate yourself from that. But you can at least learn to witness, oh, there's that little need to be right creeping in. You say to your spouse who comes home, I do have a heart condition. You say to your spouse, and do you remember that I've been talking to you about that for, you know, a couple of years now? And you're not coming out and saying, I'm right, you should have listened to me. But there's all these subtle ways that, especially in couples or parent-child relationships where the need to be right, can become visible to your own eyes if right. you look for it.
Right. Now, we've only got a couple more minutes, and God, there's so much that we could talk about. But why don't we just go straight to the payoff? You know, what are people going to get out of their efforts if they commit themselves to the practice of getting real that you so brilliantly lay out in your book?
Yeah. You're going to become inwardly stronger, besides being more self-aware, which then means you're playing with a full deck instead of you're on automatic all the time. You're going to get inwardly stronger because you're no longer strategizing so much to avoid discomfort. We have to get better at handling inconvenient truths if we're going to solve our own problems and the big problems of the world today. And that means getting more comfortable with discomfort, and that's what you will get. I don't know, that might not sound so much fun, but it's freedom, folks. It's freedom. You're not limited by your fears quite so much.
Well, I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website, which is susancampbell.com. That's Susan Campbell, all one word, CAMPBELL.com. And I'm sure that they could find out about all 12 of your books there and other information on your work. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, great. It's fantastic. Susan, thank you so much for being on the show today. You were awesome.
Thank you, Paul.
And for those who might have turned into Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien. Now, don't worry. You can play and or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast or on Paulo's YouTube channel. And I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Susan Campbell, author of Getting Real, 10 Truth Skills You Need to Live an Authentic Life. I want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of you listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast on KBOO FM in Portland, Oregon. Or perhaps you subscribe to the podcast version for free, which you can find at divination.com, that's spelled divination.com, as well as on Pathways Radio on Paulo's YouTube channel. Just type in Pathways Radio. And if you like the conversations, you can give us a thumbs up and subscribe. And please feel free to forward a link to your friends. This is Paulo bidding you adieu and reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Podcast. And thanks again to Susan Campbell and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, people of Portland, listeners of Portland's oldest community radio since 1968. This is KBOO Portland. Welcome to the first Slavic show in English, airing every other Sunday on 90.7.